You have your Bibles, we'll turn to Luke chapter 1. We'll start in verse number 30. The Bible says, "And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. Thou shalt reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? The angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her, who was called bearing." Let's all read this together. "For with God nothing shall be impossible." Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we come before you today, and we're so thankful, Lord, for your mercy and your love. We're so thankful for this wonderful time of year where we can celebrate the birth of your Son, that we can celebrate the foundation of our relationship with you. Father, we thank you, God, and we love you. And Lord, we ask you today to help us as we stand. Father, I can't do this without you. Lord, I need your help today. It's in your Son's sweet name we pray, and amen and amen. You can be seated. So I want you to remember that. Every time you face anything, remember, for with God, nothing shall be impossible. Let's look at one of the greatest passages here as we go through this about the story of Christmas. The first thing that we see is why it seems impossible. Now, if you're facing something and I'm asking you what's going on with you, you're going to tell me your problem and then you're going to tell me why it's not going to work out. That's how it typically works. I spoke with a lot of couples in marriage counseling. I've spoke to a lot of people just in Christian counseling. All these folks that you speak to, they will tell you their problem, and before you can get a word in edgewise, they're going to tell you why it can't be fixed. Because not only do you have a solution to your problem, not only do you know your problem, you know why it's never going to work out. It's just how it is. I know why I will not have everything that I want. Why? Well, because it don't work that way. Well, no. That ain't necessarily how it is. Fact of it is, I'm not going to have everything I want because I'm not goal-oriented enough to have everything I want. I'm not going to work endlessly to have everything I want because at some point I'm going to say good enough is good enough. But I know folks that are so goal-oriented that they have nearly everything they want and they still continue to thrive. You know why? Because they're set on it. Because they have these goals and they are more than willing to give everything they've got to reach these goals. Well, Aaron, why do you feel like that maybe some of the bad things happen to you, you know, that happen? Well, just because that's the way it is. No, that's not exactly how it works either. Sometimes it's God's plan that things happen the way they do. Sometimes God's using a situation to teach you a lesson. Sometimes God is taking a burden or a trial to grow you spiritually. Because your story on how God brought you out may be what the next person needs to hear while they're going through a trial. There's reasons for everything, and they're far beyond our knowledge, far beyond our belief, far beyond what we can even imagine, because God has plans, and our mind don't work on His level. Pure and simple. But we look at why it seems impossible. If we look through verses 30 through 34, this angel just comes out of nowhere and says, "Hey, Mary, you're pregnant." Well, those of you that have children know that's not exactly how it works. It just isn't. We have five, and not a single time do I feel like that either of us were impressed by an angel that she was pregnant. Maybe at times another kind of being. You'll pick that up in a minute. Bob's giggling. Bob knows what I'm saying. Bob knows what I'm talking about. But that's not how it works. You have all of these tests that you can take, blood tests, and all of these things that you can know for sure, and signs that you can know for sure that you're pregnant. But this woman had an angel come say, hey, you're pregnant. That's not how it works. That's not how it's supposed to work. So this time must be a little different than most other times. I'm just thinking this time's a little different. When an angel says you're pregnant, it means something. Second, why it seems impossible is she was going to have the Son of God. Now, we all want something special for our children. And I believe with every birth in my home that God's going to do great things with this child. But none of my children are the Son of God. Just simply put, they're just not. I'm impressed with them. I'm amazed at what God has given them the ability to do. And I'm amazed with the hearts that God has given them the ability to have. I'll brag on him. He's sitting right here. Trenton has blown my mind. He wanted to become a firefighter. I thought, that's cool, but what can a 13-year-old do at a fire department? Turns out 13-year-olds can rescue people from wrecks. 13-year-olds can fight fires in burning buildings. 13-year-olds can go fight brush fires. And the calls that Trenton has been on so far, I'm noticing a trend with it. He goes on a call for a man who's been unconscious for days that's in his semi-truck in the back, and people's noticed that truck hadn't moved, and the company's called and tried to figure out what's going on. He goes on this call with this gentleman. He goes on all of these different medical calls. You know why I've noticed that? Because even as he's grown as a person, I've noticed that he has a heart to help people. He loves people. He wants to help. He wants to serve people. I believe with all my heart that God's going to use that heart. But he is not the Son of God. So it seems impossible because she's going to have the Son of God. It seems impossible because an angel says she's pregnant. It seems impossible because if you know the biblical definition, she had known, not a man. She had never been with a man. That's impossible. Folks, let's be adults about this. No biology book will ever tell you this is possible. It doesn't make sense. Medically, it is impossible. It can't happen. Why it seems so impossible. Look at your problems that you face. Look at the issues that you go through in life. Look how late we are in the month and we don't have Christmas shopping done. It doesn't look like we're going to get it done. The stores are going to be packed. I'll never get through there. We're not going to be able to afford it. I have too many gifts to buy. There's too many things to do. You know, it's Christmas Eve. I've got to cook a big meal on Christmas. I'll never get it done. All these things that seem so impossible to us. But he could do that. I don't understand why we would limit God when obviously God is very unlimited. Obviously, he is limitless. Obviously, there is no high that he can't go to or low that he can't pick you up from. Obviously, God is able to do all things. Obviously, with God, nothing shall be impossible. But it seems so impossible. It seems so impossible. I don't feel like I have hope in this. I don't feel like I can do this. I don't feel like I can get through this. You can't. Let's just call it the way it is. You can't do this. You can't get through this. There's no way that you can pull this off. But the last time I checked, our job as Christians was to totally rely on Him. Our job as Christians is to tell everybody we can about Him. Make sure that we share the good news and the Great Commission and let God take care of all the details. After all, once you're saved, this life is not yours. It's His. Brother Steve gave me some very encouraging words this morning. This is His service. This is His church. We're just the instruments that He uses. You know, I have to remember that. And I'll tell you why I have to remember that. This morning when Brother Rick called me, he called me and I go in the living room, I sit down, I start reading, start trying to study, and I'm just, I can't do it. I'm convinced in my mind, God, you're going to do something great today, Something's going to happen in that choir. Something amazing is going to happen, and I'm not going to need to preach. You've pastored. You've been there, haven't you? It is. I'm not even going to need to preach. I'm going to keep my seat, and I'm going to smile like I've got the best 3 points in a poem you've ever seen. And the more they sing, the more I'm going to say, get us to 12:15. If we can get to 12:15, then I'll say, come back tonight, and you'll hear what the Lord has. Folks, just being honest. Brother Steve messaged me, and he said, just remember, we're just the instruments. And I got to thinking about my guitar. That guitar is pretty dumb without somebody to play it, isn't it? That guitar can't pick itself up and play it. And while I'm not anywhere near the best, we do have one of my favorite guitar players sitting here, just being honest. And he'll tell you that guitar won't do anything on its own, but if you work it right, if you put your fingers where they're supposed to be, there's some pretty things that can come out of that guitar. I believe we heard it this morning, didn't we? We heard it with the guitar, we heard it with the bass, we heard it with the piano, we heard it with the organ. These instruments are dumb without somebody using them. So I just had to remember, God, I really can't do this. I really can't do this without your help. So I'm going to need you to use me. Just let me be your instrument. I'm going to need you to use me because I can't do this. I can't even study. I can't find anything to preach on. Seems like at some point, whenever you humble yourself and you realize, hey, I can't do it on my own, God says, okay, now that you figured that out, I'm going to give you a message. Now I'm just in hopes and prayer that we can grow from it and learn from it. These things seem so impossible on our own, but with God, He can use the instrument. With God, the virgin can have a child. With God, the child can be the Son of God. And with God, that child could be the Savior of this world. So even though it seems impossible, it's not with God. Isaiah even wrote, he said in 7:14, therefore the Lord Himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name, one of my favorite names in the Bible, Emmanuel, God with us. Had it not been for God being with us, we couldn't be saved. So we go on down to our next point. Not only does it seem impossible, and we know why it seems impossible, we have to look at why, how it's not impossible. So it goes on in verse 35, and says, the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the 6th month with her, who was called barren. Here's another impossible thing. This lady who couldn't have kids, that was way too old to have kids, she's having a kid. Pretty neat. Pretty neat. This is one of those scriptures that scare me, because me and my wife try to keep saying, now we've got 5, we're kind of too old. Oops, we're not. But this is why it's not impossible. This is how it's not impossible. First of all, it's not impossible because God knows what His people needs. God knows what His people needs. Whether you pay attention to every little moment in your life or not, God does. God knows everything that you face, and God sees everything, not only that you face, but the things that you don't notice that you face. There are things that come our way that we miss by that much, that we never even know it's there. Maybe it was that big wreck that we missed that we had no idea was going to happen. Maybe it was that accident where we fell that Brother Steve and Brother Rick weren't so fortunate to miss. Could have been worse. God sees the bigger picture. God sees what could have been, what might have been, and what is. And God knows what His people need. No matter what, God knows what His people need. The Bible says, but my God shall supply all your needs according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. So because of Christ Jesus, our needs are as good as met. Before we know it's even a need, it's as good as met because of Christ Jesus, because of the birth of Christ, because of this amazing, impossible story that God made possible. This is why it's not impossible. He knows what we need because He hears when we call. He hears when we call. One of the most beautiful stories, I believe, of God hearing when they call is when we look back at the children of Israel, and it was just randomly, God looks out and finds Moses, and He says, this is going to be my guy. This is going to be my man that I'm going to use to deliver my people. And why did He say He used them? He said, because I have heard the cry of their taskmasters. God heard people praying. Folks, God hears people praying. If you're praying, God's hearing. If you're talking to Him, He's listening. You say, well, He's not answering. Maybe He has answered, and maybe it wasn't the answer you wanted. And maybe, just maybe, it's not time for you to get the answer. Maybe you're on hold. How in the world we can call the bank and we can set on hold for so much time to find out how much we've got in there, or about a transaction that we did or did not approve, or to find out exactly how much we can get in a loan around Christmas time. We can sit on the phone and be on hold with them for however long we need to be, and it's just normal. It's this time of the year. It's the holidays. People are busy. They're getting a lot of phone calls. But God, the creator of this world, says, hang on a minute. He says, well, that's not normal. God, you need to answer me. I'm praying now, so you need to answer now. Well, tell you what. Take you about 6 days, create all that He created, and then you can try being boss. You give up one of your children to be the savior of this world, and then maybe you can start calling the shots. The last time I checked, this is His world, this is His life that I'm living, and this is His time that I'm living in. Why it's not impossible is because He knows what we need, and He hears us whenever we call. One of the greatest scriptures, and this I believe it's such a good promise, is over in 1 John chapter number 5, verse 14. And this is a good word right here, the confidence. I like that word, confidence. Let me tell you why I like that word, confidence. I'm not very confident in a lot of things. I know there's a whole lot of things I can't do, and a few things that I can do I don't do very well. I don't have a whole lot of confidence in people because every time I've seemed to put a lot of confidence in people, I've been let down. And you know what? If you put your confidence in me, you're going to be let down. But we can have confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, it doesn't say He gives us what we want. It says He heareth us. He heareth us. When we pray, God hears us. When we ask according to His will, God, I want Your will to be done here, He hears us. You say, well, why do you think that doesn't mean I get what I want? Well, Jesus Christ Himself sat in the Garden of Gethsemane praying, Lord, let this cup pass from me. Yeah. Nevertheless, not my will, but Thy will be done. Amen. Jesus didn't even get what He wanted. But He prayed that God's will would be done. And God heard, and God's will was done. And now we get to spend eternity in heaven if we're saved. Amen. If you pray according to God's will, He'll hear you. God hears you when you pray. God knows what you need. And then, why do we know that it's not impossible? Whatever we're facing, why do we know that this wonderful story here is not impossible? Because He cares about His people. He cares. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 7 says, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. Whatever you're facing, whatever you're dealing with, you can put that on Him because He cares. He cares. He cares about you. He loves you. If He didn't love you, He would not have let His Son die for you. Folks, you are a big investment to God. You are a big investment to Him. I don't know if anyone here invests or not. But if you've ever invested in anything, you've realized something. Whether it be a small investment or a big investment, whether you mess with it a whole lot, you're going to keep an eye on it. You're going to keep an eye on that investment because you've put something into it. And when you put something into something, you care about it. It means something to you. Now, some of those things will grow and do great things for us. Some of those things don't do a whole lot. Some of those things never really produce anything. But you are God's investment. God has invested every drop of blood in His Son's body into your life. God has invested 2,000 years, actually over 2,000 years, because we have to look at the time before Christ. God has invested every moment from the beginning of creation till now. God has invested all of that sin coverage in you. God has invested your children. God has invested your spouse. God has invested your family. God has all of these things invested in you. Do you really think He's just going to let you fly away to nothing? No. You're an investment. You mean something to Him. You're important to Him. He cares about you. Trust that God cares about you. Trust that He loves you. Trust that He expects to get something out of you. Trust that He cares enough to hear you, to know what you need, and care enough to do something about it. So we've seen of why it seems impossible and how it's not impossible. And lastly, we look at this. Let's look at who made it possible. Simply put, verse 37 says, "For with God nothing shall be impossible." God. That's who made it possible. God made it possible for a virgin to bear a child. Seems impossible. God made it possible for this woman to have His Son, the Most High, Emmanuel. God made it possible for not only this child to grow, but to go on and have a following that would go on to do His will and His work, that would preach the Great Commission, that would grow the first church, that would eventually, He would give His life for our sins. God made it possible so that the blood of Jesus Christ would be the reddest blood that you can imagine, can cover a black soul that's stained with sin, and wash it white as snow. God made that possible. God made it possible that we could be here today. God made it possible that we can call heaven our home and that this land, this world we're living in is just temporary. God made it possible that we could look at each and every person in here, and as long as these two folks are saved, they are our brother or sister in Christ, and that we can spend eternity with them in heaven. God made it possible that one day, that just as Thomas looked at the hands and the feet and the side of Jesus, that one day we too can look at His hands and His feet and His side and see what He bore for us and say, that's what I've been given. That's what He did for me. Because just as He took those nails and He took that spear and that crown of thorns and that rugged cross, just as He took that beating and that lashing and that spitting and that plucking of His beard, just as He took it for me, He took it for you. Because of God. Because of God. God made it possible for anything that we ever face, any mountain that we may have to climb, to be made into a molehill. Folks, I don't know why God would lay this message on my heart. There are so many Christmas sermons and Christmas outlines out there that we could get through this thing. With the nerves I had this morning, it would have been so much easier to find something that was just run-of-the-mill. But for some reason, this is what God had in mind today. I don't know what it is that you're facing that seems impossible, but I can tell you that with God, nothing is impossible. Whatever seems possible in your life, remember that God can make it possible. Whatever you're facing, remember that God is able. Whatever troubles you, remember that God has a plan. Whatever it is that you're facing. Could I ask that somebody come and sing a song for altar call this morning? Whoever wants to come. One of my favorite scriptures in the entire Bible, and I would say that if 5 out of 10 messages that I preach, I cover this scripture at some point. Just because I've had to remind myself of this so many times. Ephesians 3:20 says, "Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we may ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us." Whatever is impossible to you, it's not impossible with him. Because his word even tells us that he can do it exceedingly and abundantly above not only the things that you ask, but even what you think. In other words, his abilities will blow your mind. So whatever you're facing that seems impossible, do yourself a favor and hand it over to him. It's his anyway. That's what he's waiting on, is you to hand it to him. You say, "Preacher, does that mean my troubles are over today?" No, absolutely not. Does that mean that this mountain is made into a molehill today? No. But what that means is you have placed it in the hands of one that can actually take care of it. Because we can't. Your preacher can't. Your deacons can't. Your song leaders can't. Your church members can't. The church financial committee can't. The church prayer committee can't. Nobody can take care of this but God. So hand it to him. Because with God, nothing shall be impossible. We'll ask you to come.